It's the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman time.
Y'all must have forgot why we the best.
People say the punches weren't really necessary.
What do you mean, why were they not necessary?
Because he was already knocked out at that point.
But the referee hadn't pulled me off. And my job is to hit somebody till the referee pulls me off. So to those people, I would say maybe don't watch him and they go back to soccer.
You know, I made history here tonight. I set another record. Etched my name in history one more time.
WFAN and Odyssey.com.
You guys caught me under a bad time, but you know what I'm saying? The Rock's cool. I like ballers. You know what I'm saying? But he picked the wrong side. He picked another side, so he could get it too. He could get his ass whipped too. Straight up. With all due respect, he could get it too.
I definitely want to defend my 145 belt. And let's see, I'm going to talk to Dana. Dana, tomorrow I'm going to call you. We're going to have a talk. I love you, boy.
Here's your Fight Fan host, Pete Hoffman.
This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman. Follow me at the Hoff WFAN, at Fight Fan WFAN on Twitter, at the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman. Everywhere else, that's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, WFAN.com, and the Odyssey app. This week, two special guests. Two fights are actually happening tonight. Zab Judah, it is an event. It's a celebrity boxing event. It's more about it's a different style of celebrity boxing. We're going to get him on a little bit later. Also, Jake Shields, who's competing in a jiu-jitsu tournament, which is pretty awesome. We're going to get into all that and more in just a bit. Jake Shields, Zab Judah joining. But just quickly, the UFC event that's on today, right now, as we post this, Paulo Costa versus Marvin Vettori. You all know the ups and downs of this card, that Costa couldn't make weight for many different reasons. Now, basically, it's a light heavyweight fight, which is crazy to see how this has transpired. Many different ups and downs of this. It's amazing how you go 20-pound difference here, and we'll see what type of fight we get out of Paulo Costa and Marvin Vettori. Costa, somebody who I've been talking about for a long time. I think this guy has so much talent, and something has just been awry over the past year and a half. You saw that fight with Israel Adesanya. It was not the same Paulo Costa. It just was not. It was someone who was hesitant. It was not the person that walked in against Yoel Romero, who was a straight-up killer, and went to battle with him. He basically, Paulo Costa, huddled up into a ball. He basically curled up and it was just over. It was, I don't know what we saw out of Paulo Costa, but it was not the same Paulo Costa. Paulo Costa from 2019, Paulo Costa from 2018, Paulo Costa from 2017, where he basically just ran through all of his opponents and it seemed like something special was a brewing. It's not the same case now. But we'll see what happens. If Vettori, same thing. Vettori didn't have a great fight against Israel Adesanya. We thought we were going to see something different, and it did not happen. So we shall see. We will see how these two collide now that they're in the light heavyweight division. Maybe they'll pack punches will be packed that much more. I'm not really sure what to expect out of here. And maybe Vettori just takes down Paulo Costa and just wears him out a little bit. And that'll be really not fun, but we'll see how that goes. Jake Shields, again, as I said, has a tournament tonight in Phoenix. It's going to be on Fight TV. A lot of things are on Fight TV right now. But we'll get into it. Here he is. Jake Shields talks about tournament and other stuff that involves maybe some of the Diaz brothers. We'll get into it right now. Here is Jake Shields.
This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman, and being joined right now by a very special guest. Jake Shields joining us right now. He's got a huge tournament coming on this weekend, this Friday, Third Coast Grappling Championship in Phoenix. It's going to be on Fight TV. Jake, how we doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Just, drinking a little coffee. Actually about to head to the gym right now and get a workout.
There we go.
Only had a couple weeks notice for the tournament, so trying to get myself in a little bit of shape real quick to hop in there with all these young guys packed full of tough young up-and-comers. So it's pretty exciting to go out there and see if I still can compete with the best current jiu-jitsu talent in the world.
What is the biggest challenge for you? I mean, again, you said it's kind of last minute for you, but what's the biggest challenge is to get back and rev it up to be like in like conditioning, or is it more like these kids are you know, not studying enough to understand who these guys may be that you're fighting or that you're grappling against?
Yeah, combination of things. One, you know, I keep myself in decent shape year round, so it's not like I'm starting completely out of shape. You know, when on 2 weeks completely out of shape, I would be, you know, worthless. So I keep myself in decent shape. But the main thing is right now I'm in Vegas. I'm mostly training MMA guys. So the majority of my training is MMA based, not jiu-jitsu based. So it's going to be a little different, you know, hopping there. Just, the jiu-jitsu game, MMA game has a ton of similarities, but also a ton of differences. So having to readjust to some of the stuff these guys might be doing. I haven't really, I was training with John Don here for a little while, but haven't trained with him like a year and a half, Puerto Rico and stuff. So not really up on any of the current jiu-jitsu, but it's, you know, I think I've done it long enough and I've competed long enough where I'll go out there and do fine. And, you know, I wish I had like one more week to get in shape, but I think I'm in good enough shape to go out there. Also, I haven't done any tournaments in a while. I've done a bunch of super fights, but, you know, 4 matches a night, that's a lot of work. I think the matches up to like 12 minutes a piece. So hopefully I'll go out there and get some submissions because I don't want to go like, what's that, almost 50 minutes of grappling. That's a long night. So hopefully I get those submissions.
That's a long week.
Yeah, exactly. More than I'm trying to do. So I need to go out there and tap some guys out.
So take me through this Third Coast grappling, because I was looking through some of the previous event. I just, for some of the people that don't understand, it's a scoring system, right? It's a huge score system. Yes. Is this similar to other tournaments, or is this a whole different format?
Well, that's another confusing thing about jiu-jitsu right now. There's so many different rule sets, so you never really know what you're doing. So for me, I just try to get as best I can so I can compete under every rule set. And I did the show once, but I don't know I can't remember their exact rule set, but I know it's similar to like IBJJF rules with some variations. And I think it's, you have to have 11. If someone doesn't have at least 11 points when the first round of 7 minutes is up, it goes into a 5-minute overtime. And then I believe that's scored the same, but I think the points restart over. So I need to freshen up on the rules when I get there, because I don't know the exact rules, but the hybrid. So all these shows are trying to find ways to make jiu-jitsu exciting for the crowd. So they're all tweaking around with the rules. You know, a good example, the EBI came out, in which the first couple of shows I thought was great and really exciting.
Yep.
But the problem with that is now you get a lot of these guys, they've learned to game the system where they spend half their time training overtime rounds, and they just try to stall and get to overtime. And if you have a guy like me that never trains overtime, I'm sitting there training MMA, and I go there with a guy that trains 3 day a week, armbar back escapes, becomes kind of an unfair situation.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's all trying to beat the system. That's what it comes down to. It's every single sport.
Yeah. And unfortunately, every rule set, guys, you know, guys will find ways to game the system. So it's so it's tough finding the right system. But I kind of like this, because I think I like it where submissions are encouraged, but ultimately you got to give something for points. Like some of these shows will give nothing for a pass, mount, back take. I mean, those are completely dominant positions. So I'm sitting in someone's mount, I'm beating the crap out of them. So to get no points for that's a little bit ridiculous.
What do you think about because I remember EBI, I can't remember which one it was that started the, was it the slaps were allowed?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The, what is that called? The EBI, combat EBI, I think.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, personally, like, I'm not against it, but I was never really a fan. I like either watching MMA or jiu-jitsu. I'm not really, you know, figuring out a reason to really mix the two. It's kind of like a poor man's version of MMA. It's like just get in there and fight. Now, I have nothing against anyone that wants to do it, not knocking them, but everyone kept telling me, why don't you do that? You'd be good at it. It's like, you may be good at it, but why do I want to get there and like get slapped in the face? If I'm gonna do that, I might as well get paid. Jiu-jitsu is like fun. I'm going out there and like, I mean, not that they don't pay, but not the kind of money fighting does. So I don't really like, I think mixing the two is not appealing to me, but hey, if people want to do it, you know, I'm all for it.
You know, speaking of getting paid, I mean, one thing that's, it's probably over, people are over it by now, but it's still out there just because it's something that, you know, we talk about fighters getting paid, who deserves it. Boxers are making tons of money, but it's kind of weighted as far as the big stars, big superstars. Meanwhile, in MMA, it's really still not even there. There's only like a few fighters that really get big paydays. I mean, how is that going? How is it in the MMA world, being closer to it, training a lot of these guys still, and you being so close to it? Is the pay still a big burden on a lot of the fighters?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I don't think pay has really increased since I was fighting. You know, one positive thing, the pay was always steadily going up since I was fighting. So I had that to report too. I think it's kind of plateaued in the last like 5 or 6 years, and guys are kind of stuck getting the same pay. There's a few exceptions, guys like Connor, you know, Nate, there's a few of these superstars that are making good paydays now. But as a whole, there's a lot of like good fighters that you look at them, they're making like 150K a fight. It's like a big name. And that's just, you know, a guy that should be making 500K would making 150 sometimes. And it's just sad when you see that, you know.
You talk about some guys that are still getting paid nice. You know, you talk about Nate, somebody who does get paid nice. You know, we saw the return of Nick Diaz and we saw that fight. It was interesting. But, you know, going in there versus Robbie Lawler, he was saying that he didn't even know why they were scheduling that fight. Was it more because he just didn't want the same opponent again? Was he really wanted Kamaru Usman? Or was he really like, because you always get concerned, like you don't want to see someone go in just for a payday, but really doesn't want to fight. What do you think Nick Diaz's reasoning was to get back in that cage?
Yeah, I just think, you know, he needed some money, but they rushed the fight. I think people pushed him to fight a lot earlier than he wanted to. He went from not training at all to being like, oh, you got to fight in like 8 or 9 weeks. But this is not like not training a little bit, like just not training at all. So he had to get his body completely in shape, from out of shape, find a place to live. It just wasn't enough time. I think he was maybe a little underpaid for the fight too, with how big of a star he was. So,
oh yeah,
it wasn't, you know, he's a superstar. I think he had no pay-per-view percentage to my knowledge. He definitely should have pay-per-view percentage. He was just put in an unfortunate situation and put him to a fight that he wasn't ready to. I think he needed at least another 6 weeks to train for that fight. And the fact that was such a, you know, with only a few weeks training, he was able to go out there and show that he still could fight. That was pretty impressive. I think maybe that was good for his mindset. So now he knows. It made him realize, hey, if I properly trained, I could still go out there and win these big fights. He just unfortunately didn't get to properly train for that fight.
Do you think we see Nick Diaz back in a cage ever again?
I think we'll probably see him, you know, but I hope he's, he'll really do the proper camp, because if he's properly training, he still can go out there and be a top guy. It's the problem is he had a long, long break, you know, and there was a long period where, you know, he was drinking and not doing the smartest thing. So that, I think it's no secret, you know, I'm not trying to give us information, but I think anyone, you know, that following Nick knows it was pretty obvious. He wasn't in the best headspace, wasn't doing the right decisions. And it was, you know, we needed the process for the fight to get Nick's in the right headspace. And the problem is they're trying to do that and push the fight at the same time. And sometimes sometimes you need a couple months to kind of like regroup your life. And he's in the process of doing that. And all of a sudden, like, oh, you're fighting next week. And it was just kind of it was a very unfair situation he was put in. And it was, it sucks being so close to him and being around him, seeing it, that he just wasn't ready for that fight. You know, the week going in, it was like, man, this guy's not ready to fight. He has no choice. You know, it's like, I was sitting there being like, man, I wish we could just pull it and move back 6 weeks or something. But it was just, you know, it was too late. We were already there, already in Vegas. It's like, had to go on.
Dude, it's crazy because, like, I sit there and I talk to you guys all the time, like, not you in particular, but, like, in general. I'm sitting here, I'm talking to tons of fighters, and, like, we actually care about you. You know, like, I'm a fan of the sport. I care about your well-being. I care about you.
Yeah.
It's not just I watch fight. You guys go at it. You guys are beating the crap out of each other, whatever the hell it is. And then you guys, you know, turn off the TV. I had a great night, and I actually want you guys to be well. Is there something in place, you know, whether it's each individual organization or somewhere else, is there a community for fighters after their career?
No, to help fighters after, to my knowledge, there's nothing at all. You know, UFC, I think, will do a few things before about, I think they do a few things, the fighter conferences where they do tell you to set up your, set up a corporation or something like that, so you pay less taxes. I don't even know if it's anything about investing, to be honest. I mean, I know I learned about investing, but I don't think it was through the UFC. I think it's just kind of, you know, I know it's a hard thing to do to teach athletes because it's not easy to get us to listen, but there definitely needs to be more of a push to get guys, after, before, during, you know, to be making sure the lives are heading in the right direction.
Yeah, because, dude, we see so many people, you know, every month or so you see somebody else who's done something, you're just like, oh man, like I just want to be there for you just to kind of like say don't do it, or guide you in the right direction, help you out. Because listen, in the end, you know, you guys are the one to put yourself on the line every day, so you guys should be protected. You should have something like that. I do want to ask about it's something so random. You're tight with the Diaz brothers, but did you go and travel with them to like Europe, to like Amsterdam a lot?
No, I've never been to like Amsterdam with the Diaz brothers. Been to Canada with them, been to Japan with them, but never Europe.
They had, from what, because I went to Amsterdam twice, and there was this crazy, unbelievable burrito spot that I went to. I haven't been there in 12 plus years, but the guy, the owner was like, oh, dude, I roll with them. When they're in town, I rolled with them, or I was friends with them back in the day, whatever it was. I just was wondering if that was a real thing, or the guy was just blowing smoke up my ass that they were.
I can never think of them being the Amsterdam, to be honest. I'm not saying they haven't been there, but it's not ringing. They haven't been there a lot, because I can think of no instance of them ever being to Amsterdam. I kind of, you know, usually know when they're traveling.
Oh, yeah.
So to my knowledge, they've never been to Amsterdam. It's possible they've been there, though. Like, I'm just trying to, because when you mention Amsterdam, I'm like, when have they been to Amsterdam? It's not out there. Went there without me, but I don't really think so. They kind of, they go place to fight, and then when they travel, it's the same spot, you know? They go out to Hawaii, they go to...
They come to New York.
Kind of business in Amsterdam.
Yeah, exactly.
They go to New York, Hawaii. They kind of got their little, you know, routine they do. Usually, when they're leaving the country, it's for a fight.
Right. And listen, their routine's good, dude. And listen, I mean, you got to talk about two guys that just know how to sell fights. Like Nate Diaz, too. It's unbelievable how he just is just masterful at selling fights. So it's a beautiful thing. I love watching it. But you too, man. Like, how do you feel? You know, again, like, do you miss competing in the MMA world, or are you satisfied with your career and you know doing these grappling matches and stuff like that, grappling tournaments?
I mean, that's a tough question, because I mean, of course I miss MMA world. There's no rush like going out there and fighting in front of and you got 60,000 people in when I fought GSP. There's no better feeling, no crazier feeling. You know, I love it. It's awesome. But it's also a brutal sport. I did it for like 19 years. I had, I feel like I'm still mostly healthy. Well, pretty much healthy overall. You know, my body, I'll get achy and stuff because I still train, but no serious injuries, no head trauma. So I feel like I made it out pretty easy. So I would, you know, I haven't retired, but I would only fight if it made sense. You know, I'm not trying to fight these young, up and coming, really tough kids that are trying to make it. I would fight another guy that's been in the game forever, another legend. You know, I would step up and like give someone like Henderson a rematch, something like that would be cool to go out and do a couple fights like that. But I'm not trying to like win any world titles anymore. Hey, who knows? Maybe I'd go out there and do a fight and get that itch again. Because actually, surprisingly, training. You know, I train with a lot of top guys still in Vegas, and my body feels like I still, you know, I still can do amazing with these young top fighters. I think the biggest problem is the mindset. You know, when I was young, I was willing to die out there. I would go out there in a mindset like, oh, if I die or kill this guy, that's what I was ready for. But it's hard at 42 to go out there and be like, oh, I don't care if I die tonight. You know, you just kind of lose that mentality, and that's kind of a. I feel like I've lost that more than the physical edge.
Yeah, but to follow up on that, like, I feel like the one thing, listen, you're just a little bit older than me. Now, I never competed in that type of fighting at all. I've competed in sports. It's completely different. But, you know, in life, the more you do something, the better you get at it, you know, and especially you being a veteran and understanding, you know, when you get in that cage, you have to feel like you have the edge because of just the knowledge alone of what you have.
Well, yeah, no, I still think I could go out there and I still think I could be out there at really high level and win some really big fights. The only difference is I think sometimes if a fight gets really tough right now, I might not have the extra push that I used to. You know, perfect example, I just mentioned Dan Henderson, another perfect example. When Dan Henderson dropped me two or three times in the first round, like I was willing to die out there and win and stop fighting. Now, if he did that today, would I still feel that way? Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. I'm not really sure. But back then, I knew I wasn't going there, and I was in a fight until I was physically completely unconscious or couldn't move.
Do you think that the way that MMA is, that they need someone to step in at times for some of these fighters that won't throw the towel in a little soon, that will, like, I mean, I watched Marie Devashvili versus Marlon Moraes not too long ago, and it was incredible. I mean, that guy is unbelievable. But you thought he was knocked out. You thought the fight was over, and somehow he comes back, and he just does his thing. So you look and see certain fighters are just, like, able to withstand that. And then there's other fighters that you see them kind of try to work through that, but then never get there. Do you think someone's going to step in? Because listen, thankfully right now, MMA has not suffered any brutal loss, but in like the BKFC, bare knuckle fighting, there was someone that just died not too long ago. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but he just died not too long ago. He got in 12 seconds, got knocked out. He should not have been in the ring to begin with, because he was coming. He hadn't won a fight in who knows how long, going up against a guy who's on a crazy win streak, was never supposed, should have never gone in the ring with him, but he did. And then he never recovered from injuries. So, like, for that, do you think that there's got to be someone that steps up and says, because the corner, you're a warrior. You're a warrior. Your corner men don't know who you are. You know, shouldn't there be a third party in there just in case?
Yeah, I don't know. I lean towards the size of letting the fighters push it as far as possible. But you have to realize when they're actively fighting or not. And, you know, the perfect example is the Merab versus, was it Moreno, right, or whatever?
Yeah.
Because Moreno rocked him 3 or 4 times, but Merab was still so actively trying. He was knocked out on his feet, but you could see in his mind he was still trying to win. The difference is sometimes you see these guys are mentally defeated. They're not trying to fight. And it's kind of hard to tell that. You know what I mean? You have to have a very knowledgeable referee to know when the guy is done and when they're not. So I knew the Rob fight. I knew he was hurt. I was thinking he might get finished, but I could look at him and see, hey, he's still trying to win this fight. He's in the game. And that's when he was able to come back and win. So it's watching these fights, kind of like what was those those great fights between Frankie Edgar and Gray Maynard, right?
Oh, my God,
knocked down multiple times, but he was still very much in the fight, because you could just see when these guys were actively moving, trying to fight, that's when you got to let them fight. And it's, you know, it takes a very, very good, very skilled ref to make these decisions.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, it takes skilled judges to make those, you know, to grade, and they don't do it very well either. So that's a problem. are you excited to see how they're going to score you in this? Are you worried about the refs and is it the judges, I should say, in your tournament coming up?
Just minorly. I felt like last time I did a show for him, I felt like I had won the fight, and then they gave it to the other guy. And then I found out afterwards, I think the judges were the other guy's teammates. So I was like, oh, okay. it kind of sucks when they do that. So hopefully that won't be the case this time.
Is Sean Patrick Flannery going to be there? He was there at the last card. Is he going to be there for this one?
Who is that?
Sean Patrick Flannery. He's the guy. I don't know if you ever saw Boondock Saints, and he's been in like a bunch of movies and stuff like that. Very good actor, but he's also like runs like his own jiu-jitsu training, jiu-jitsu area, whatever, in Texas, I believe he's. I think that's where he's from.
They're actually doing this one in Arizona. I know Third Coast Grappling in Texas, but they're going on the road. I think they might change the name because they're going to start doing shows like all over the country.
That's
so
great.
Doing it over in this one's actually in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's awesome. Well, listen, it's cool that it's expanding. That's the one thing I love about it, this sport, this MMA, the combat sports world, it is expanding. I just got the phone with Jeb Zuda, the Zuma with the Jeb Zuda boxer, and he's out in St. Thomas right now, and he's sitting there, and he's creating this celebrity boxing event going on, but he's focused more on, like, you know, fighters that like are more from the street side of things and trying to get them in the ring to give them an outlet, which is kind of cool. So I like the different things. Fight TV is very diverse with their levels of fights that they got going on.
Yeah, I don't really know too much about Fight TV, but I just found out they're on this show, and I'm like, oh, cool. So it sounds like they got a lot going on, and that's hopefully they'll keep growing. The more content, the better.
That's for sure. Listen, Jake, I appreciate the time, man, and I'm looking forward to seeing your fight on Friday, the tournament on Friday, right, the 23rd?
It's on Saturday.
Saturday, okay. Yeah, today's the 20th. There we go. That makes sense. I'm in the back of my head. So Saturday the 23rd in Phoenix. Looking forward to that. And, dude, good luck, and please keep in touch, and we'll do this again, man.
Yeah, man. Great talking to you. Have a good one.
That was awesome. You know, very interesting. I mean, I don't know if everyone does know the Nick Diaz stuff going on right now, but it's interesting to see someone so close to him see his input in that situation. And again, it stinks to see that or think that people are fighting without really wanting to, which is for payday, which is, I mean, why else do you work? You work for money. We all work for money. But if you don't want to do something and you have to do it, that's your only source of income, that stinks, especially if that's not wasn't the battle he wanted. That's not how he wanted to return. Now you can see it too. Like, you know, Lawler touched him up once, really good. And it's like, all right, enough for Nick Diaz. He made his money. He can get out of it now. All right, let's get to Zab Judah. Listen, this interview is a little bit, I had to edit it a lot. He gave me 20 minutes, but I really couldn't use it all just because of Cincinnati Thomas. His internet connection was a little in and out. So we did our best. But here he is, Zab Judah, talking about his celebrity boxing fight this evening on Fight TV.
I'm over here in the Virgin Islands right now. And then,
what the hell are you doing talking to me? You should be partying right now. What's going on?
I know. I'm over here Saturday night is going down. Celebrity Championship Boxing.
That's what's
can't
up.
Wait. I'm excited.
Dude, it's a pleasure to talk to you. It's an honor to talk to you. Tell me, how did you get it? We're just going to dive right into this. It's the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman. We're being joined by Zeb Judah. Huge fight coming up. Celebrity sort of boxing. It's a lot of different personalities. Tell me how you got involved in this, man.
So, how I got involved with this was, you know, after the death of Pop Smoke, you know what I'm saying? He's from Brooklyn. And I just got started all this violence and street violence. So what I said was I'm gonna start a street boxing league. For the professional boxers, there's a league. For the professional MMA guys, there's a league. For karate guys, there's a league. For street fighters that don't desire to be this 24/7 a fighter, I provided a league for them.
That's amazing. And I mean, you think about all, like, you know, especially during a pandemic, a lot of people need a different outlet. So you're giving them that olive branch. How long did it did take for you to figure that out, to find a place that they can go to? Did it take a very long process?
Yeah, of course. You know what I'm saying? It takes a lot, you know, when you start up something new, something that's never been done before, you know what I'm saying? It takes a lot of hard work and dedication, you know what I mean? But we figured it out, myself and the great team that's around me. You know, I thank those guys, myself, my wife, my team. And we made it happen. Saturday night, live on Fight TV. You can watch us live from the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas.
Loving it, loving it. I haven't been to St. Thomas in quite some time. How is the weather right now? How is it? Just gorgeous?
So I'm outside. I'm sweating right now. See me? When I got my COVID mask on, I'm having a great time. So what I did today was I came out to the locals. I came to hang out with the locals. You know what I'm saying? To blend in and, you know what I'm saying, give out some giveaway tickets and things like that. So we having a good time. But as you can see, we live right here from St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. Saturday night is going down live on Celebrity Championship Boxing, live on Fight TV. I'm excited, man. I don't know what else to say.
I feel it. And now, how often do you want to try to do this? You said how often do you want to get these fights going? You want it like every few months?
I'm going at it every 90 days. Every 90 days, you do the Celebrity Championship Boxing in your face.
And how are you getting the celebrities? Like, are you personally going out and making the phone calls? Like, I want you on my card.
Oh, yes. Every one of my fighters that's on my card say they can tell you they have a personal relationship with Zeb Judah. Nobody's on here that's never met me. They got to talk to my side assistant. None of that shit. It's just me, Zeb Judah. Yeah.
Dude, you do a lot of awesome stuff. I saw it. Now, do you tell me if I'm wrong? Maybe I read it wrong. But do you help out with like a dementia patients and stuff like that? Is that something you do on the side too?
I'm a certified nurse. Yes, I'm a certified nurse.
How did you get into that?
Look at because I big masculine. This big masculine man is not afraid to say I'm a certified nurse. Yes,
dude, you're better. You're good for it. Listen, I love
all
that.
All I want to do is tell guys out there that think it's a punk job. You try it. You accomplish it, and then we'll talk.
How did you pick dementia patients and stuff like that? How did you get involved with that?
I didn't pick what field to get me in. It was a field that I was in, and I just fell in love with them. I just fell in love with the patients, the people, you know what I'm saying? You know, people tell you, I don't know what the hell I did. That shit sounds kind of loud, though.
All good, man.
I want to walk away. I don't know what the hell. It's the bushes. I don't know what that was.
Coming at you, dude.
It was kind of loud. Let me step away from that. Yeah, I don't know what it was. I don't want to. I'm a city boy. Yeah.
But anyway. So am I.
Yeah. So, you know, I was working out. I was working with the patients, and I fell in love with it, man. And I just said, I want to learn more. I want to get my certification. I want to be, you know, educated on what I'm doing. And that's what I did.
Do you see the boxing going towards this celebrity boxing is. Obviously, that's why you're partaking in it. But do you see it like this is where the crave is? This is the rave right now. This is everyone's doing this. It's you. It's the Jake Pauls. It's everybody's out there doing some sort of celebrity boxing. Is this eventually going to take over from the real boxing? I mean, we saw Tyson Fury. We saw Deontay Wilder. That was an amazing trilogy. But those seem to be few and far between now.
You can never take away from the iconicness of boxing. Never, never. But what you can do is give everybody a lane. My lane, I'm not for the Jake Paul lane. Jake Paul and them, they have their own lane. My lane is the streets. Mm-hmm. I got the streets. You know what I'm saying? As far as street fighters and people doing that in different cities that don't have a lane for fighting, I created that. That's my goal right now, to create that.
Do you, let me ask you a question, because you've seen so many amazing fights. You've been in so many amazing fights. You were clearly the best to almost beat Mayweather. You're definitely up there as far as the one name that really stuck out, that really did some damage to him. Who is the greatest boxer of all time?
My opinion is not one person. It's my idols of the sport is Pernell Whitaker, Mike Tyson, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Sugar Ray Robinson. I think that if I had to give my trophy and my flowers to the number one guy, it would be those guys. And I would have to split it between four.
Who is the toughest opponent you've ever had?
Mickey Ward.
Really? Mickey? What made him so difficult?
I fought him at a time I was 15-0, and he was like 34-2. And it was a very difficult time. I was young. I was still new in the game. I was learning, and I knew that one thing I had to do was get past this fight. This was my major hurdle, and I jumped the hurdle, and then everything was from there. But he was the toughest fight. He made me dig down in my brain more than anybody else I ever had to. That's why I always tell everybody that, you know.
Zeb Judah is joining us right now. Big celebrity boxing fight matches coming up this Saturday on Fight TV. We're looking forward to it. So you're big. Again, this is all about the streets. This is all about the people that are fighting on the streets, and you want to give them a platform. Why? Right. What makes you so connected to that?
I don't know. Just me being... You know, a poverty-stricken kid from a poverty-stricken environment, being from Brownsville, Brooklyn, just being at the bottom of the barrel and climbing my way to the top. I feel like I want to go back and give everybody that I know having success. And if that would mean starting our own league, that's what I did. I started my own league for it.
That's amazing. And now, do you ever want to try to bring it back to Brooklyn? Is that a possibility for you? I mean, right now, you say Thomas, this is awesome, but is it ever a possibility that you're going to bring some of these fights to the... Dude, I'm a New Yorker. I'd come over there to watch that. I'm in Eastchester. I'm in Westchester area. I'll come down to Brooklyn to watch these fights. Let's do it.
I promise you guys, Barclay, Brooklyn, watch out. Zab Jews on the
way. I love it. What else do you have going on? I mean, besides the celebrity fights that you're putting on, besides your nursing that you're working with dementia patients and stuff like that, what else is Zab Judah up to these days? How have you spent? I mean, it's been the pandemic has hit many people in different ways, but a lot of like good, great stuff has come out of it. So obviously this boxing, celebrity boxing has come out of it. What else from Zeb Judah has come out of the pandemic?
Well, during the pandemic, you know, the way I stayed relaxed was I took a dose of Super Punch. Super Punch is the new marijuana medical brand. You know what I'm saying? You can check it out live at superjudah.com. Check it out. You know what I'm saying? And tell me what you think. I love it.
Hey, listen, you need to love it. Yeah, but I'll test it. I'll let you know how it is. But I'll that's great. So when did you start that up? When did you start that up?
Super Punch was started maybe 3 years in now.
Three years.
We 3 years in now. 3 years in now. We're working on the gummies and the edibles. It'll be launched in California, maybe sometime at the top of the year right now. So, yeah.
Are you still living in the city in New York, or you're on the West Coast now?
I live in California. I'm a beach boy now.
Oh, you're a beach boy now. So you're living it up. You're okay. That's cool. Listen, the New York area misses you though. We miss you, my friend. We need you over
here. I know, man. I miss you guys. I love you guys. You know that with all my heart.
Well, listen, yeah. Zeb, listen, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you hanging out with me. I appreciate what you're doing for the boxing world, for the community, for the streets, because it's very important, dude. In a time like this, we need people like you to build cool. First of all, it's entertainment for people like me. Like, I'm a big combat sports fan, so that's what it is. It's all entertainment. I've loved watching it. It's fun. This is what we do. This is what I do. This is what I enjoy. This is what I promote. But for someone like yourself to be able to put it together is really awesome. So congratulations on that.
All right, my guy. Thank you.
Thank you again to Jake Shields. Thank you again to Zeb Judah. Thank you all for listening. As always, it is the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman. We'll be back again next week. I will be returning to the airwaves next weekend, next Saturday. I will be on October 30th from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. on WFAN. So definitely check that out as well. And I'll be back with Moose and Maggie this week, as always, 10 to 2 with them, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on The Fan, as always, with Moose and Maggie. Thank you again. Follow me at The Hoff WFAN, at The Fight Fan WFAN, at The Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman, everywhere else. WFAN.com, Odyssey app, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And again, thank you for listening to The Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman.